Learn more about the albums you love with Dissect, a music analysis podcast hosted by me, Cole Kushner, a lifelong musician. Each season of Dissect dives deep into one album, examining the music, lyrics, and meaning of one song per episode. We've covered albums by Kendrick Lamar, Tyler, the Creator, Frank Ocean, just to name a few, and our brand new season just launched all about Radiohead's 2007 masterpiece, In Rainbows. Listen to Dissect on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, because great art deserves more than a swipe.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Action-packed, celebrity-filled rundown today.
Yep.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock. And reminder, if you'd like to be a part of this podcast, give us a call at 646-STEW-138. And now, the biggest news of the week. Taylor Swift attended a Kansas City Chiefs game where she ate chicken tenders with both ranch and ketchup.
Okay.
On the plate.
You've seen the picture.
Sure.
So the ranch and the ketchup were very, they're separate by at least 2 inches. So
Yes. They
were not commingling.
No.
And the chicken tender has not been bit into yet either.
I just want to say, crucially, if they were commingling, it would perhaps be a Russian dressing.
Yes.
So, important distinction.
Yes. And the tendy looked like a typical stadium tendy, like over-breaded, over-crispy, too much outer layer.
Also a really weird shape having nothing to do with chicken.
It looked like a fist.
It was just sort of like a mound of something.
Yes. I want my chicken tenders to sort of look like
impersonate
Vermont.
Impersonate chicken.
Or just kind of have that sort of like a long arrowhead to a spear shape. You know, and I want them to be sort of flattish, not too thick.
Yeah, this is like a pile of chicken or something. It's pretty weird.
It does feel like she got the worst chicken tender of the bunch, which is not how you treat Tay-Tay.
And also, is it possible this wasn't actually her plate? Because she has no relationship to it
Her body language doesn't say, I'm eating this now.
Because here's the thing I've been thinking about Taylor Swift for weeks, long before this Travis Kelce situation.
Okay.
The stamina this woman needs to have to do her tour, which she's like very early on in, will be doing for another 18 months, is not really giving me chicken nugget. I just feel like that's not helping with her performance on the stage. And I just wonder if like she happens to sit down and like maybe the woman in the picture with her who's holding a child perhaps put her plate down for a minute for the photo op or something like that. Like, I'm just not convinced this was Taylor Swift eating this.
Well,
alleged piece of chicken.
I'm sure there are other Ringer podcasts that will go much deeper on this Taylor Swift story, but I will say briefly that this is very much a for the cameras PR stunt type of a thing.
And she
is trying to be like the I am just like you, middle America, look at me kind of a thing. And eating a chicken tendy at the football game very much screams that, which is why I don't think it's a mistake that the chicken tendy is part of her experience.
Also, the red and white is like Chiefs colors.
Yes.
Is chicken tendy a Jacobism? Is it a family thing?
People say tendy.
Who says that?
People.
Oh, okay.
This is like Glizzy. Like, trust me.
Okay.
Just trust me on
okay.
this one.
Okay. As you know, I'm just in my cloistered Park Slope existence, so yes. I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Any further notes on Taylor Swift that you'd like to share? You need to get out there.
Yes. I like chicken tenders.
Okay.
I like vodka crayons.
Okay.
They do not mix. Like those two flavors, you cannot wash a chicken tender down with a vodka cranberry. There's something about the tartness of the cranberry that just doesn't mix.
Once again, I understand drinking vodka crayon. I get it.
Yes.
I just feel like at a football game, it's just not really a football beverage unless you're like 10 o'clock college freshman still getting used to like kegs and eggs or whatever. 10 a.m., of course.
I think it's a calorie conscious choice in the suite. The suite that have anything
limited,
you want.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that it's with the red and white theme again.
Of course.
I think it's vodka, a lot of soda, splash of crayon, limit cows.
Yeah, because it's not that much crayon. The color, you could tell.
Exactly.
It's another reason why she probably didn't have this chicken tender. It's not a calorie conscious choice, but I get it. I don't know. I just, I'm a pineapple girl. The Juliet, we haven't mentioned it in a while.
Yeah.
Vodka soda, splash of pineapple. But of course, that's not a red themed beverage. So
there you go.
I respect the game. All right. Shall we move on?
Of course.
Next up, more celebrity news. A while ago, we discussed Lana Del Rey seemingly serving people at a Waffle House.
And we discussed this at length. And the internet did as well. This was like a real mystery. Why is she wearing a uniform at a Waffle House in Alabama? Is she recording nearby? Is this all a stunt? Is she just happened to be coming through? Like, what? How did this happen? It was just so weird.
So she was interviewed by The Hollywood Reporter, in which she discussed it. And I'm going to tell you what she said, but I just want to say beforehand, I find this to be an insufficient explanation.
Oh, I love this already.
She said that she was at a Waffle House for so long that someone at the Waffle House was like, here, put on a uniform and bring this regular his food. And that it happened to be photographed and then it went viral. And then she made a quip about, I wish my record would go viral.
Yes.
I just don't think that's like normal course of business explanation. And I hope she didn't get anyone in trouble by being like, he gave me a uniform to put on.
The three things we know about this statement, right? She was in a Waffle House. That's normal. For 3 hours.
It made me think of the woman who went to
that buffet place. In the Cracker Barrel or whatever. Yeah, it's just like, this is insane. 3 hours in a Waffle House. Waffle, you could literally sit down in a Waffle House, eat a full meal, and be gone in 12 minutes. It's that kind of establishment.
Also, like, is there any place, even if you are Lana Del Rey, like, is there any establishment where, like, if you hit a certain threshold, they offer you a uniform?
Well, you and I had some long dinners in Spain. We had some luxurious 3 hours, 3.5 hour dinners.
We had a great
time. But
they're
coursed out. There's you know, some wine involved. We're having chats. We're recording podcasts. Like, what can you do after the 2 hour mark at a Waffle House? At this point, you're there as a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. Like, there's no other reason for her to continue to be there except for hoping like something like this would happen. But even then, this whole thing.
What is
also,
this?
Also, the fact that it was captured at the right time. Like, if you're there long enough, it's sort of like having like a long exposure. It's just sort of like giving people a long enough period of time to capture you in the Waffle House shirt or whatever.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I had no idea the picture was being taken. Like, really? Because you're looking right at the camera.
It's not like it was crowded in there. It wasn't like paparazzi shot.
And she's there for, I don't know what she's doing there for 3 hours. The second she gets the shirt. I don't know why she gets a shirt. And it's got to take a while. It's an engraved name tag.
Yeah, it's like,
it's not a sticker they stick on the name tag. It's an engraved name tag that has to be pre-prepared. Unless they have an on-site engraving machine or human engraver like the Stanley Cup.
Side note, I went to a Golden Bachelor press event this week, watched the Golden Bachelor on ABC
did.
And then listened to Bachelor Party.
Of course.
And the favor was notebooks that they were like monogramming on site with like a calligrapher. It was the best shit ever.
Always nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm really glad that you mentioned like a bit, because there also in this article in The Hollywood Reporter was a quote from Jack Antonoff, who is her producer.
And Lena Dunham's ex-husband, boyfriend, whatever.
Boyfriend, thing. Now married to Margaret Qualley. They got married.
Oh, no idea who that is, but shout out to Margaret Qualley.
Andie MacDowell's daughter. They got married very recently.
Wow, Andie MacDowell from Sex, Lies, and Videotape?
Yeah, and from Groundhog Day. Here's what Jack Antonoff said. This is a quote. She's really one of the greatest songwriters and vocalists who also likes to roll around in her truck and drink gas station coffee. That can disarm people, but there's no bit. You telling me
this
there's no
bit
has told me this is a bit. Her bit is that she wants to seem like she has gas station coffee and goes to Waffle House for long periods of time. And I'm sorry. I don't buy it. Like, Do you remember Carl's from Hipster Runoff, who wrote for Grantland?
Yeah, of course.
He was very infatuated with Lana Del Rey very early on because she's a bit internet person. Dude, she does bits.
I'm so dumb. I thought her name was Lana Del Rey until I read this article. Her name's like Elizabeth Worthing blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's like that's like saying I'm so dumb. I thought her name was Pink. I mean, it's her stage name. How else?
I know, but Lana Del Rey could be a name.
Yeah, sure.
It could be a name.
Her name was Elizabeth Woolridge Grant.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is BS. And
it's... Wait, her name's Elizabeth Grant?
Yeah.
Whoa. We're hitting all the 90s movie stars.
Wasn't Elizabeth Grant abducted?
No, I was thinking Hugh Grant and Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes. I think Elizabeth, maybe I'm thinking of Elizabeth Smart. I think there was
Elizabeth Smart was abducted.
Yeah, whatever.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, let's move on.
To the third thing we learned about this incident was the following, that there's a regular who goes there.
Yes.
Quote, this guy, a regular, comes in every day and orders two things. So they were like, just go get it for him. I brought him a Coke, no ice, and an empty cup. Quote, for dip, she clarifies, miming the spit of a chewing tobacco over a Coke of her own. This one a diet. I didn't see anyone take a video of me.
Okay. Once again, if you're serving the regular who orders the same thing, presumably around the same time.
Drinks a Coke and then puts in some dip and then spits into the Coke can for another 45 minutes, which is a long time to spend at Waffle House.
But if it's like your thing and it's like there's like the dip involved, that's real like routine. Ritualistic, ritual, yeah. Again, another thing that you can plan around. So,
And also, I'm sure he likes routine. He's very habitual about his day. He doesn't need a celebrity giving him his Coke, ruining his whole experience.
He probably knew who she was.
Yeah, no, you think the guy's a local regular at the Waffle House that dips has no idea who Lana Del Rey is or Elizabeth Wurschmeimer Hurley Grant.
Elizabeth Woolridge Grant.
There.
If you saw Lana Del Rey in a restaurant, would you identify her?
No.
Me neither. And like, I know who she's famous. I know she's very famous and who she is, but like, she looks kind of regular. So I think that this also plays into it even further, where she's like, I'm just a regular person hanging out for a really long time at Waffle House for no reason at all.
Some celebrities are regular people. Some celebrities try really hard to seem like regular people.
Minutes.
And Lana Del Rey is clearly in the second camp.
Yeah. And that's also cool. Like, this is her art. Do it, whatever you want. But, like, please, don't pretend this just happened.
Yeah. And don't complain to me about your album sales at this in the same breath of which you're like, I was just there trying to help the people of Waffle House in my fourth hour of existence there. Please.
It's, like, so wild. Whatever. All right. For anyone who's remotely famous to spend 4 hours in one location with no, like, privacy at all, you were asking to be photographed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you will be photographed.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there aren't more photographs. What'll happen at some point is people will put you on TikTok and call their friends, and then they'll come over.
Why is there only like a limited number of photos?
Because also I think like Waffle House, Alabama is not Lana Del Rey's demographic.
Right. Like if it was like a country singer or something.
Yes.
Like Morgan Wallen.
Yes.
Then it would
that would be a thing. But I don't think like, you know, the video she did with ASAP Rocky is playing on the video jukebox in the Waffle House.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, let's move on to more celebrity news.
Let's do it.
This came to my attention via the Washington Post. However, it originates from Vanity Fair. Last week in Vanity Fair, Chris Pratt claimed that to train for his Marvel role in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Star-Lord.
I haven't seen.
Great films, great trilogy.
I've heard that, but I haven't seen them.
It's really good.
Here's a quote from the Vanity Fair article. Marvel also introduced Pratt to nutritionist Philip Goglia, who increased Pratt's caloric intake to 4,000 calories a day, plus one glass of water for each pound the actor weighed. I was peeing all day long, every day. That part was a nightmare.
Okay.
Then
we find out
that would have been 200 cups of water a day. And that would be impossible.
Yes, he
would
die.
It turns out that they meant 1 ounce of water per pound of body weight. And they made a correction to the article and then did not follow up with any request for a comment to the Washington Post.
Still a lot of water, yeah. If you think about it. You know, like I'm like 220. Like that's a lot of water, you know?
If he had drank it, the Washington Post says, if it was a cup of water for every pound of body weight, and he reportedly weighs 240 pounds, that would have been 15 gallons a day.
Yes. But I mean, I don't want to get
you
too dark
drown
here.
From that.
Yeah. But a friend of mine's sibling passed from drinking water.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
Yeah. We'll move on. But like, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
You can't actually die from drinking too much water.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm glad Chris Pratt did not.
Me too. I just thought I liked that the Washington Post was really changing this into to calling out Vanity Fair. Like that became the crux of the issue.
Yeah. And like the headline is like, Chris Pratt does not drink 240 gallons of water a day. It's like, I know. He's there. He exists.
I think that Chris Pratt seems like someone who would just like exaggerate. So I think there's also a question of like, did he say the wrong thing or did they write the wrong thing?
They wrote the wrong thing.
I don't know. Maybe he also said the wrong thing.
Also,
but they did correct it.
We've dabbled in these waters before. I'm not afraid to just dip a toe in. 4,000 calories. Not that hard to do in a day. I can do that pretty easily. A smoothie is like 800.
I feel like celebrities, though, they're so used to being conscious of what they're eating that it's probably like
I could hit 4,000 by like 2 o'clock p.m. pretty easily.
Yeah, if you like a smoothie is like easily 500 calories. Yeah. So if you have that plus like a hearty breakfast.
Yes.
By 10 a.m. you're like at 2,000. And then you work out,
right? You're already at like 1,700. After the workout, another meal. It's 2 o'clock. I'm in the 3,000s.
Have you ever watched Limitless with Chris Hemsworth on Disney Plus?
I have not.
I love it. I recommend it.
It's about Adderall, right? Like the guy just takes a bunch of Adderall.
That's a movie with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, okay. Is that also called Limitless?
Yes.
Okay. Wait, they're both called Limitless?
Yes. This is a 6-part miniseries in which Chris Hemsworth explores.
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah,
his immortality.
Yeah. Box breathing and walking across the thing. Yeah. Some of the feats are a lot more a feat than others. Yeah.
But there is part of it about like his diet when they show him training and stuff.
Yeah. He always brings his brother along or whatever and they chit chat.
Love it. Yeah, I love it.
You love that series so much.
I love Chris Hemsworth. I just love him. Yes. So I support him.
I do
him.
Not recommend watching that series.
Why? It's great.
Every episode could be like 4 minutes and they're 45.
I find that stuff really soothing. It's so low stakes and it's like, an attractive person. I don't know. I just
with their shirt off.
Yeah, just training. Yeah. I don't know. It's great. All right. We got another follow-up. Also kind of about a celebrity, but the celebrity is a vehicle. As you may recall, the Wienermobile, which we discussed last year, and then we brought it back up because it changed its name to the Frankmobile. And you immediately called bullshit on this.
Well, I'm a Wienermobile enthusiast.
Of course. I've spotted it in the wild
multiple times. I've been lucky enough to film it. I mean, the Wienermobile is much like a rare animal.
You're lucky.
Yeah, I was honored to film it in real life. And I've seen it more than once. And I have a relationship with this vehicle. And I knew it is the Wienermobile. And I knew once they called it the Frankmobile, it was not gonna last. And as I think a common person, a civilian outside of the Wienermobile, you know, society would understand that, oh, maybe they just changed the name. No, they didn't change the name. This is just a promotion.
I gave you a hard time about this. I think I was like just wanting to disagree with you that day because you were that obviously right. On many days, including that one, I just wanted to disagree with you. But you were right. Just wanted to give you your flowers.
I accept your apology.
No, that's not what I said.
Well, I accept it. I accepted it. Can't take it back.
Let's move on to one of my favorite stories in quite some time.
What? We're like 15 minutes in.
Well, I wanted to talk about the sort of...
little warm-up? Yeah.
Also, I feel like let's lead with celebrities. That's what everyone else does, you know?
Yeah. If you made it this far in the podcast, you're in.
Given the opportunity to talk about Taylor Swift on Food News, we have to take it.
Of course.
Then the Lana Del Rey story, I had a lot to say. I also have just a lot of enthusiasm about this article from the New York Times. I believe it's from the style section, food within style. The headline is New York's hottest steakhouse was a fake until Saturday night. And so... this is such a great like anecdote that I could see making it into like The Social Network 2 written by Aaron Sorkin.
Oh yeah. Oh, this is going to be a series, a film, or something. Oh, it's obvious.
It's amazing. So, Jacoby, have you ever heard of Mehran's Steakhouse?
Well, I read the article, but not before that.
Had you heard of it before?
No, ma'am.
Me neither. But some people had because it is a place in the Lower East Side that is on Google Maps. That people were making reservations for.
I think it's on 83rd Street. The mythical place is on 83rd Street.
You're right. The mythical place is on 83rd Street.
So it was...
pardon me.
It was basically, I don't want to step on your news read.
It's okay.
But there's a group of people who live in a hacker house. Know what that is? Basically, you're young and in your 20s and you sleep on the floor. And you split rent.
Yeah.
You split rent and you work in tech. So basically, it's a flop house for people that just graduated college or like dropped out, right? And what they did is they made up a fake steakhouse and they put a listing up called Mehran's. I don't want to say his name wrong.
I think it's Mehran. Mehran, but you're aligning some facts here.
Well, this is why it's your job.
Yeah, well, stick to the heist, okay? I'll do the fake steakhouses.
You go.
Mehran was one of the people, one of the 20-somethings living in this
21.
House.
21. Keep that in mind.
He was 21.
That's young. You're barely a 20-something.
It's very Social Network. When they lived in the flop house, remember that?
Yes.
And in Palo Alto. Crucially, Andrew Garfield's character wasn't there for the summer, and that's how he got cut out.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had this place in 83rd. To like save money and also like for communal living, Mehran used to make them steak. And being the techie people that they are, they created a fake like location on Google Maps for their address that was called Mehran Steakhouse. Yes. It was like an inside joke based on the fact that this guy Mehran was always making them steak. And then they themselves left really enthusiastic Google reviews on Google Maps. And as a result, tourists began to think it was like a real place, and they would like walk past it and be confused. And then people would like email or like use Google to ask for reservations. And then like 8 months later, this past weekend, people were told that they finally got a reservation.
And there's a 900 person waiting list for a reservation. Think about that. 900 people were dying to go to Mehran's Steakhouse.
It's like wild, just based on Google reviews that these techies posted.
Yes.
So then for one night only, they decided to basically have an episode of The Rehearsal from Nathan Fielder, yes, which is one of my favorite shows.
Not a good show, but continue.
And they made a steakhouse in a event space where they had like...
In the Lower East Side.
And Mehran was making steak. It wasn't that good. But they also had like a lot of like other fake activities, like a fake proposal.
Mm-hmm. They had people outside, Drake fans outside behind the velvet rope.
Holding like Drake signs.
To make it seem like Drake was inside eating. And they also had a staff of 60. People flew in. So it's a bunch of people in there.
All these people now live on the West Coast.
They don't live there anymore. They don't even live in New York. They had to fly in to come up with a fake restaurant to serve people that thought it was a real restaurant that got great reviews. They thought it was the hottest steakhouse in Manhattan. And little do they know, they're cooking out of a regular kitchen, and it's Mehran just like doing the best he can.
He doesn't know anything about cooking steak. He's just figuring it out as he goes along.
I love at one point, they're like, well, what if someone asks for a beverage that's not on the menu? Guess what beverages are on the menu? 3 types of wine and milk. The milk part blew my mind.
It's disgusting.
Of all the things to have as your non-alcoholic beverage, milk?
So gross.
What?
I told you I once went on like a weird like brunch quasi date and the guy ordered milk, right? It was the first time we hung out.
No.
First and last.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really quite a time.
10 minutes.
Huh.
Yeah. Milk is not normal.
Think if you're a milk drinker, you should be cognizant of the fact that you don't do it on a first date. You could do it later in the relationship.
I said do it at home.
No, you can do it later in the relationship. If you're already in on the guy, it becomes a quirky little thing that's funny. But like
7 months
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but like day one, just don't lead with the milk.
It was so weird. Anyway, I love the story of Mehran's. If you go to mehranssteakhouse.com, you can see the website that used to be there. They've now sort of like moved on. Now they did their one night only. It's really great. I love when people... This is like... Lana Del Rey, take a page from these people. They really committed to the bit, and they told you about the bit. There's nothing wrong with it.
Can I go negative for a second?
Sure.
I'm just thinking about all the restaurateurs that tried to launch restaurants in Manhattan, like in the past 12 months, that just failed miserably. It's so hard to have a successful restaurant business. And these people, by accident, created a hot restaurant.
I know, but it wouldn't necessarily have translated into anything. Like, I don't think there's like, they're taking opportunity from anyone else.
Oh, no, not at all. And but like it just goes to show that like all of this is bullshit.
People are impressionable, yeah.
Yes, it's all bullshit. And I especially love that it taps into the sort of like exclusivity, the new place, the hot thing in Manhattan, and people seriously thinking that it was. And there's a great quotes from people that went there being like, yeah, I noticed everyone that worked there was like 20 years old and the sommelier didn't know how to open a wine bottle. I started thinking like, oh, this is like an NYU thing.
I loved that quote.
Yeah.
Like, a real indictment of NYU kids. It was funny.
Well, Tish kids.
There's
a difference.
As an alumni,
there's a certain sector of the school that are those kids, and they're Tish kids.
I totally get that, because as a Northwestern alum, I like to clearly note that I am not a journalism alum. I was not a journalism student, just to be very clear. Just a regular person studying English, whatever. All right. Should we move on to today's taste test?
Yes, this is a big one.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? He'd take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We teased it before. We are energy drink enthusiasts, but we like the powder ad.
This is enhancing water. I discussed last week, week before, that I like to enhance my water. Water I drink a lot, but I like to put electrolyte powders or collagen powders or energy powders or just flavor, like Kool-Aid, straight up Kool-Aid powder in there. And what we have here are water, but enhanced with nutrients and flavors that enhance the water. One is my go-to. One is Juliet's go-to, and one is my wife's go-to.
Hey, Joey.
Let's start with
Joey's.
Joey's go-to. It is called, I want to get this correct, it's called Vital Proteins. This is Morning Get Up and Glow. Mm. The thing about this one, I said, well, Joey, what does this do for you? She said, it gives you energy and it makes your skin look great.
Oh, interesting.
And I said to her, your skin does not need to look any better.
It always looks good.
It's got 10 grams of collagen peptides.
Oh, the collagen peptides is what does it.
Yes, 600% of vitamin C, and it's also got just various things inside of it. Caffeine, collagen peptides, hair and nail support, biotin, hydrolic acid, youthful appearance, no gluten or dairy.
So this is an orange flavor. I'm going to taste it.
You didn't pour any for me. Thank you very much. Very considerate.
Kind of tastes like Tang.
Tang? Oh.
Have you had Tang?
Yeah, of course I've had Tang. I've had everything.
Probably not in a while. Let me try this. This is good. I get it. Very chuggable. Which is kind of important with these drinks.
Okay. One thing that's very important is Juliet refused to allow me to follow the directions on the packets.
That's
refused.
Correct.
Because she thinks it overflavors. Well,
just to be clear, the directions were to a certain proportion of powder to water.
Yes. They usually use a 16.9-ounce bottle of water, which I proposed. Yes. Which I brought.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't do it. I think it tastes good as is.
I do not. I don't think it tastes flavorful enough.
Oh, so you wanted to have more.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Not I. That, well, also, it didn't even fully dilute.
No. And also, I want to say anyone that's dabbling into the powdered beverage area that Julie and I are core in the center of, I urge you to use a bottle.
You must.
And then drink a little bit to create a little air packet and then shake it in the bottle. If you try to stir it into a glass, it just will not dissolve.
Good note. Very true. Liquid IV is next. It's my preference. And here's the thing about Liquid IV. I'm going to be honest. They're a bachelor party sponsor.
Oh.
However, that's not why I like it.
Oh, I drink it in my regular life.
I got some in the mail because I had to do a personal endorsement. And now I buy it. I did use my own bachelor code though to buy it. But
okay.
But like, that's how it came into my life. But I like it so much that I keep buying it. And so there's a bunch of different kinds at Liquid IV makes. My favorite is the Yuzu Pineapple Energy Drink,
which I just so happened to get.
I'm so happy. Like, thank you so much.
Have you mixed this already?
Yeah.
It looks clear. It has no
visual
indication.
Do you want to put a little bit more
in? Because you messed up my last one.
I liked how it tasted.
No, it was too watered down. First of all, oh my God.
That's still a lot. I usually do 64 ounces for one packet.
You're just you, though. I think we should follow the instructions that whatever. We're in a fight.
I'm just trying to have everyone enjoy it.
Ooh, it does smell pineapple-y. One thing about pineapple is you can put drop of pineapple in gasoline and it tastes like pineapple.
It goes so far.
Seriously.
Can you have a sip? Because I know what it tastes like because I have it all the time. I love this shit. I miss it when I'm out.
It's a really good flavor.
It's really good. Yuzu pineapple.
It's a really good flavor. The yuzu, if someone said, what does yuzu taste like?
So
I would not be able to explain it, but I can taste it.
Thank you so much for bringing this today. I was out.
This is excellent.
Literally, I bought some yesterday using Bachelor code.
I got extra packets for you.
Code Bachelor if you want. I think 20% off.
Okay.
Still works. And
that's great.
It's so good.
That's great. This is not a competition, but that is noticeably excellent.
It's always
excellent.
Always a competition between us. It's okay.
Yeah, that's good. That one's good. That one's really, really good. Well, I brought it, so I win.
You
so
can't you see go. Me, but I'm doing like a
roof raising thing.
A victorious arm some move of some kind.
It's not your best look. So this is my go-to, our final one.
What's it called?
This is called Ultima. I do hot yoga a lot, and this is where I was introduced to it. This is truly like an electrolyte thing. This is, you're going to sweat a lot. We're going to refill you with electrolytes. Add one stick pack to 16 ounces of fluid water. Now, I buy the variety packs that come in grape. There's lots of flavors. There's a cherry,
gross.
There's a raspberry, there's an orange, and this is the lemonade. This is what I first was introduced to, and this is what I introduced my children to, which they love. They call it daddy water, and it's very lemony.
Oh, it really tastes like lemonade. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's good, right?
If you like lemonade, you'll love this.
It tastes like lemonade. Now, it has no calories, it makes your water taste like lemonade, and it gives you electrolytes. Why?
This is very good.
So, I've told this story briefly, but I tried to, like, I saw a friend of mine drinking water and I was like, hey, put this in there. And they refused. And there's a part of me, it's like, you don't want it to taste better and to be better for you?
Yeah.
It's a win-win-win.
I know. My brother claims that when he has Liquid IV, it makes his synapses fire more quickly. And he's like more mentally.
This Liquid IV is energy. So there's caffeine in it as well.
There's
caffeinated and non-caffeinated. If you're giving it to your kids, do not do caffeinated.
Yeah, they also have just a hydration one. But like, I like both. I mean, I need the Liquid IV. So, I mean, I need the caffeine.
There you go.
Wow, this is exciting. Just one question for you. I thought you were into Mio, the little squirty.
I am. Those weren't available to me at the time.
Oh, okay.
And
my wife
has shamed me into being off of Mio and off of the Kool-Aid because she's like,
sugar?
Those are just chemicals. No sugar, but it's like, it's all like fake chemicals. It's all just there for taste. She's like, if you're going to enhance your water, do it with collagen, do it with protein, do it with electrolytes,
she's
do
right.
it with something that's going to make you better. And I didn't really, I looked
do
at her.
Do it with caffeine in my case.
Yeah, I looked at her and I was like, I had to try to come up with a reason why I'm not doing that. And I just literally couldn't. So there we are. Now
all
we're
right,
here.
Fair enough. All right. We got to move on. Personal food news. I'll go first, as always. I had a flight on Saturday. Last weekend. An airplane.
Okay. Sorry.
I was on an airplane flight. Mm-hmm. No, I like where your head was at. Very food news centric.
We just went on a flight of enhanced waters.
Loved it. As you remember, there was the storm Ophelia. So I was really worried about puking on the plane. So I took a Dramamine. I'm very prone to motion sickness. I took the Dramamine, didn't puke. I was really knocked out from it. Like, so knocked out that I lost the next day. I was, like, so fucked up.
Lost the next day?
I was so tired. I couldn't function. I was, I really could barely function. However, I did have to leave the house because I ordered salad for lunch. Because I had just been traveling. I just really needed to have a salad, even though it was Sunday. And, like, you don't really think about, like, your salad places, your go-to on Sunday. But I was like, whatever, they'll deliver it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fucked up from my Dramamine that I hit pickup by accident. I was like, fuck.
Oh, no.
I have to go pick it up.
Oh, I would have just ordered it again, delivery, and just ate in the cost.
So I went.
30 seconds.
Not many bad things happened from there. It's raining. I can barely stay awake. I have to walk like 0.3 miles. And I get to my salad place. And first of all, and most importantly, I'm at the salad place on a Sunday. I texted Chris Ryan about this because I knew he'd understand. He made a great point. And he's like, for everyone's mental health, your go-to salad place should not be open on Sundays. Like, no one should be allowed to enter.
Eat salad on Sundays?
No, you can have salad, but you shouldn't be going to your weekday salad spot on Sunday your Sunday brunch. I'm there at 11:45 picking up my salad.
That is a weekday lunch. Yeah, yeah.
And it's also raining, and I'm so fucking tired from Dramamine that I sat at the salad place and ate it there.
Okay.
And it was depressing. That was the point, because it's fucking Sunday at the salad place. It is raining. And then it's good that I did, though, because in my just Dramamine state, I forgot to get dressing altogether. It wasn't even on the side, wasn't mixed in. And I was like, fuck. And so then I was like, oh, there's no dressing on this. And they're like, yeah, you didn't ask for any. And I was like, oh, okay. Can I have some? So then just hand me a little cup of dressing, which I'm grateful for. I needed dressing. But I'm like, I'm still here. Can't you just mix it for me? But
did you ask them to?
They didn't offer, and I didn't feel that was on the table. So I just returned to my sad table, ate my salad, barely stayed awake, somehow got home, got back in bed, and it was a disastrous Sunday.
I just loved it. Like, everyone else's stories like that have a lot to do with being hammered. You know what I mean? It's just like, I drank a whole bottle of Evan Williams and I tried to get some pizza. I barely made it home. I don't even remember making it home. And yours are like, yesterday I had a Dramamine.
I always take a yellow cab home from JFK. And I took an Uber this time because it was like 75 yards less walking. And I was like, I can't make it
to the line. You never know with those cab lines either.
I mean, I could see it. I could see it wasn't that bad.
But it was 75 yards.
It was too far. So I had to.
It's 225 feet.
Yeah, I took an Uber instead.
Who are you? A distance runner?
I was like, yeah, it's not a full football field, but it's close.
It's close.
It was really something. I won't be doing that again.
My personal food news is I'm on the Carton Show every day on FS1 between 7 and 9:30. That's not the personal food news, but you can also subscribe to the Carton Show podcast to listen to me talk about sports every day. And because of this show and its intensity and the length of it and the football focus, I have to like really lock in on Sundays to watch football. So I just lock into my house, no drinking, no smoking,
nice.
just like
quad
locked
box
in
life.
Quad box, but a lot of red zone mixed in there, you know, depending on the matchups and the games and whatever. But part of my Sunday routine is to order Wingstop. Mm. And I know there are better wings out there, just like there's better burgers than like Shake Shack, but it's just such a consistent go-to that I've really enjoyed it. And one thing that I've learned is not only does Wingstop have a well-done option on their app and a flats-only option on their app, which I love, is I have discovered something about wings that I've never really dabbled in before that has really opened me up to new wing flavors, and that is the dry rub.
Ooh.
I've always been a Buffalo original hot person, always. And now because of my friend Jalen Rose, he introduced me to dry rub life, and I love the dry rub life. So if you are at a Wingstop or even just any wing place and you've never had a dry rub wing, I cannot recommend it enough. And I would not have done this without Jalen.
Thanks, Jalen. Question, and then one listener call. Is this an LA thing for you? Like, were you a Wingstop patron before you lived in Los Angeles?
I was not. I have not had a single wing from Wingstop until 3 weeks ago.
Whoa. Because we used to order it at Grantland. Don't you remember?
No, I did not order it at Grantland.
You weren't part of that?
No.
But do you remember that happening?
No.
Okay. That was really before we used to go off on our two-person lunches.
And look at us now.
Here we are. All right. Let's hear from one listener. Hit it, Mike.
Hey, Juliet and Jacoby. This is Brian from Buffalo. First time, long time. Listening to you guys for a long time.
We got it.
Way back to the Jalen and Jacoby days. Give the people what they want.
Nice.
I need you to settle a dispute that I'm having between
like
my
these.
Wife and I.
I like these.
So we were making some eggs for the kids in the morning.
Okay.
And the carton of eggs only had three eggs.
Carton.
But I needed five eggs. So instead of taking those three eggs, I opened a second carton and used those five eggs because I didn't want to mix the eggs. I am now being shunned by my wife, who thinks this is a completely inappropriate behavior. Meanwhile, I just want uniformity. There could be issues. I don't want to mix the eggs. These could be different chickens. These could be different eggs. Who knows? You're mixing families of eggs together. And I didn't want that kind of hodgepodge chaos omelet for my children. So here's to hoping you guys agree with me. And I look forward to hearing your opinion.
Okay.
On the surface, he makes a good point. However, like, I agree, like, you want, like, yeah, same chicken, sure, you don't want to, like, you don't want to mix and match, but you have no way of knowing that you haven't already been mixed and matched on, man.
And I hate to to break it to Brian, but it's not like some chicken named Sally lays 12 eggs and they put all those 12 yeah, eggs exactly. in one carton. They're not from the same family. These aren't, you're not going to like the local farm down the street and like seeing how many eggs were laid that day. That's not how it works. And I understand your point, Brian, but I have to say that they're, the uniformity of the eggs is a desirable thing. You want that. But what trumps that is just the philosophy of eating the oldest first always. Mm. And I feel like that is a higher tenet in the rules of the kitchen than uniformity is in your omelet. And also, 5 eggs in an omelet is psycho behavior too, Brian. How many kids do you have? Like 7? 5 egg omelet? That's insane. How do you flip that? Who's got a pan that big?
I would say a 5 egg omelet feeds 3 to 4 people.
How many eggs in an omelet if you make it at home?
2.
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 are the only acceptable numbers, and 2 is preferred.
For one person.
Yeah, I think 3 is too much for one person because there's other things involved in the omelet. And I like to have a little side dish with my omelet as well.
Here's my main note, Brian. I think you might want to consider becoming a vegan. Because if you're
they're going to say divorce. I was like, no, do not listen to Juliet.
No. Okay. If you're worried about this, I don't think you want to look more into where your eggs come from. And as a result, I just think that perhaps you should follow a different path. Just going to throw that out there.
As someone who routinely gives out terrible advice, do not follow that advice. Eating cheese and meat is one of the joys of life, Brian. And I would say that I side with your wife. She is right. You are wrong. Thank you for listening to Food News ever since the Jalen and Jacoby days.
Also, while we're saying thank yous, thank you to our producers, Ronick Nair and Mike Wargon. We'll be back next week.